Hey, I'm Russell. I'm in Leeds. It's just after the Jubilee. We're between the Sweden and Argentina games of the 2002 World Cup. And I'm here to meet Mark Collette, the leader of the Youth BNP, or British National Party, who is a student at Leeds University. Leeds, sort of a quite a multi-ethnic sort of a town. The student life at university is normally a time for a bit of liberalism. And Mark Collette has taken up the sabre of British nationalism. So, you know, the reason I wanted to meet Mark was because I sort of read an article about him, and he's obviously like an idealistic young man, you know, sort of he's got a strong sort of belief system, and that's admirable.
I don't know why having a strong belief system is inherently admirable. Often having a strong belief system is a way of patching over the cracks in your identity, that so you find the world difficult to cope with, and so you deal with it by having a strong black and white belief system. I'm not sure it's inherently admirable.
Yeah, no matter how disgusting his beliefs are, or how much they may repulse, like
open-minded from the beginning.
The rest of us. So that's why we're here. Nazi boy.
This is June 02. It's actually quite an interesting time, because you had the French presidential election in April 02, in which Jean-Marie Le Pen came second, which shocked everybody. Then I think it would have been May 02 that the BNP first had councillors elected in, I forget whether it was Blackburn or Burnley. So this was a time, and it was the previous summer, 01, where the BNP did really well in the two seats in Oldham at the general election. So this is a time where there's, for the first time, some kind of, since the 70s really, some kind of obvious backlash against mass immigration, because of course Labour were ramping it up at the time.
Any racists? Well, I mean, if I do know any racists, I talk to them about racism or anything. I wonder what they're like. I wonder if they take sugar. I wonder if he snops them.
It's interesting because it's a time at which the older generation that were openly racist have kind of retired and are getting too old, and they're being all, and the up and coming people have all been inculcated with this idea that the ultimate sin is racism, and so if you're a racist, you're a complete freak. And you have a younger generation who are at that time 2-3 years old, whatever, 4 years old, you haven't yet had a generation that's been raised completely inculcated with woke or proto-woke. So you can kind of mock racists as another species like this, so-called racists.
Call him a heist-not. Here he is. Security conscious, I don't know what he's afraid of. What are you doing in there? Putting out crucifixes, I shouldn't wonder.
All right.
Are you Mark?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Russell.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm grand, man. Nice to meet you.
Come in.
Cheers, guys. So this is your land?
Yeah, take a seat.
Cheers, man. Business and economics you're doing, aren't you?
Business economics, yeah. I just finished today. It's my last exam.
Cool. So can I have a little look around the place then with you, mate? Do yourself
around. Yeah, sure. Are you going to film?
Yeah, if that's all right with you.
Well,
that's
cool. Kitchen. There's no need going in there because it's just a mess.
Oh, don't be shy about mess, mate. Hey, that's just human to make a mess. We all do that.
That's not a human mess.
This is subhuman.
It is.
The person that's made this mess is less than human.
Okay, he's quite over the top. He's quite put on. He's quite a false person, which is indicative of his, what we know about him since, I think.
Believe and should be treated as such. You live here on your top, do you?
No, I live here with my mate, but he's run away with his girlfriend because he's finished his exams, so I don't know when he's going to be coming back.
You do some boxing, do you?
I used to do kickboxing, not too much at the moment though because of exams.
Right, we do kickboxing.
We thought if we couldn't talk you out of fascism, we'd just thrash it out of you.
Unlikely.
Who's this dude?
That's Ian Stewart. He used to sing in a band called Screwdriver, but sadly he's dead now. Somebody cut his brake cable.
Who do you reckon?
Lefties or government, depending.
Why would the government do it?
Well, every time nationalists get a bit of a following, they always pull something naughty out of the bag.
Really?
Well, somebody does, don't they? I mean, like, look at Mr. Fortune in Holland.
Pin Fortune?
Was it Holland?
Oh, yeah, he was that one.
Bang, you know what I mean?
Six times
in the head, battered.
Yeah, this had just happened.
But so you think it could be a conspiracy, Mark, from the government against...
Well, every time... look, the media and the government go hand in hand. Your radical left, your media, are basically just tools of the government. Every time we start doing well, the radical left come out and they start screeching from the sidelines and the media slag us off. Come on, you know what I mean? they claim to be revolutionaries. They're not revolutionaries. They're just stopping popular advance of other parties. That's not very revolutionary, is it? I mean, yeah. when Le Pen's just about to go up against the what's his name, Chirac. You know what I mean? You think all the revolutionaries would do the revolutionary thing. Instead, they went and voted for a corrupt Tory boy. How revolutionary is that? Not very. They just uphold a dying system.
So you believe there's a general conspiracy in favour of the left?
Not a general. I don't say anything about a conspiracy. Basically,
and now we know that the left are running society and that you're debanked, as Marx was, and all this kind of thing. And they saw it coming. I mean, the prescience of some of this stuff in 2002, considering it's 2026 as I watch this, the prescience of what they were saying was extraordinary.
Particularly, the corporations and the media have got everything tied up for profit. Bled is what they tell them, so he gets his pocket filled. Yeah, and the left just protect the system by going around doing their silly little marches.
Silly. How come their marches are silly? And I bet you don't.
Well, we don't have marches.
They don't have marches.
BNP never marched.
Sufficient lack of research into the BNP that, of course, it was the National Front, which was the organisation from which the BNP split, that infamously used to go on marches. The BNP did not go on marches.
Why is that?
Well, it's just unproductive. I mean, the last thing you want when you're trying to get to Marks and Spencer's to get your lasagna and your bottle of wine is a load of people marching down the street stopping from getting there. Well, instead of just going knock on people's doors and speak to them, because that's how people like to be treated.
I think so. And I suppose that nationalism's history has got bad connotations with the old march in front, isn't it? Nuremberg, etc. Do you know what I mean? If you sort of see
Nuremberg wasn't a march, it was a rally.
He was like marching down the street, like, you gives an intense impression.
Especially
yeah.
if we're all wearing brown shirts.
Yeah, that's good to keep the wardrobe white and the ethnic policy white.
What a wacky guy you are.
Thank you very much, man.
Britain first. Yeah, you can't deny he is witty.
May I take?
You can have it.
Put British people first, cut down on crime, stop racist anti-white violence. Do you think that's quite a prevalent thing?
Well, look, right. If you actually look, go to the Home Office website, you'll find out that there's 150,000 racist attacks every year in Britain and 111,000 against white people.
Really?
Yeah.
And saying that at the time was extraordinary.
Have you ever felt that you've suffered racism yourself?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Not
that you're aware of, but there may have been secret racism secretly occurring.
Well, no, it's because it's simply like, if you go for a job or whatever, you might not know that you've not been selected, but a lot of firms have to meet ethnic quotas, so you might not get the job. You might not know directly why you did it, but you might have been qualified for it, but not got it, because I had to give it to an ethnic. You never know when you're a victim of positive discrimination, because it's just a log in someone's book. I'm not talking about the conspiracy or anything. I'm just talking about sensible what it is, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. What England expects. What do you think England expects of you, mate?
England should probably expect more people to join the BNP.
Really? So listen, man, let me get my head around this. You're the leader
of the young BNP.
You're the leader of the young BNP.
Yeah.
What does that entail for you?
Basically, going around the country, meeting people, giving speeches, just doing stuff like that.
What do you enjoy most about being leader of the youth BNP?
Well, it's good fun. You meet a lot of nice people. You go around, you have a positive impact on people's lives.
Are there any negative aspects to it?
Certain lefties don't like me, but I'm not really bothered if those greasy freaks don't like me.
Greasy freaks? Lefties?
If those individuals choose to dislike me, I actually take it as a compliment rather than an insult.
Really?
When I look at the fat, sort of curly ginger haired ranks of the anti-Nazi League, you know what I mean? It doesn't worry me that these people are slagging me off. In fact, if they were on my side, I'd have to seriously consider changing.
It's where old Mark's house. I've had a little bit of a chat with him.
It's true. He's preempting the concept of the spiteful mutant. And interesting that they'd be ginger, because ginger men are, of course, high in estrogen and therefore neurotic.
So we're kind of comfortable together now. Stuff. He's off out to meet his girlfriend. He doesn't want to come to his girlfriend. He's worried about the whole... Do you know his girlfriend? She doesn't fully accept the whole BNP thing. She worries that it might be ideologically wrong and that, you know, that Mark might get sort of killed as a result of his belief system, you know, which would be terrible. What's up?
Imagine filming this now. The Hope Not Hate or whatever could, based on that screenshot, just work out exactly where Mark lived. That's how much it's changed. It's 2002.
That is a real fanny thing to say.
What's a fanny thing to say, Mark?
No,
get out here and stand up for your race. What's a fanny thing to say?
Well, no, it's just
the way you put it over just sounds ridiculous.
What sounds ridiculous, sweetheart?
What are you saying about my girlfriend?
No, she's worried about you getting kicked in, isn't she? She loves you.
Basically, shoo, so I can go and meet her.
It's day two now, and we're on our way to pick up first Mark, and then his mate Chris, a fellow young BNP member. We're going to get him from the airport. He's coming over from Germany. Apparently, it's just a coincidence. So we're going to get them, and then we're going to go and watch England-Argentina on the television together. Makes you almost worried about, like, you know, you sort of think that it's sort of any form of nationalism begins to be tinged with ugliness. It seems ugly to support England.
I think he means tinged.
Hope he's up bright and early, polished his boots, combed his head. Dun, 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 dun. Hello, mate.
How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good.
We found the airport. I think we're going to be all right. We'll be on time for Chris and everything.
Brilliant.
So think about white T-shirts. I don't recall white T-shirts being particularly fashionable in 2002. What are you trying to convey by wearing a white T-shirt every day?
Nothing to worry about. You all right to come?
I'm ready.
We're at Leeds and Bradford Airport.
Yeah, that just annoys me. That Leeds and Bradford are separate cities. Completely separate cities. It's like, I believe there's a London Oxford airport. So what that is an airport in Oxford, which is a completely separate city from London. But because it's an hour or so by train from London, it's London Oxford. Leeds Bradford. What is that? It's Bradford Airport. London Heathrow. Okay, that's just Heathrow's just some small little village that they took over into an airport. But the idea of Leeds Bradford Airport, oh, that's just insane.
Now this is day two with me and Mark.
We're the original lab couple.
I don't think the sunglasses are really necessary, myself.
Don't you think so?
No. They don't add to your level of coolness. In fact, they take you down a peg.
They
or
distract.
Two. Especially on a highly overcast day in rainy Leeds.
I just wanted to look at the world in different colours, Mark.
I'd rather wear these spectacles than your blinkers.
No, good, very good, very good.
You don't really agree with terrorism, do you?
Not really.
Political solutions.
Political solutions.
No violence.
I'm not a violent man, Russell.
Yeah.
I'm not a violent man.
You're not a man.
Well, I think I'm a little bit more of a man than you.
Do you? Yeah. Based on what?
Well, based on many things.
Such as?
Well, obviously I am. I think I would ascertain myself as more of a bloke, more of a man than you. I mean, look
based
at
on what?
Girly hair.
You're a princess.
That's you.
You're a little sweet princess, a little frightened rabbit of a boy.
What's this map? Hong Kong, Kathmandu, Calcutta. That's what Britain's going to end up looking like.
One day Britain will have a black prime minister.
How prescient. So there we go. This is 2002. And the reason that's there is almost to be provocative. I think they're saying there's something about 2030. I don't think anyone genuinely thought in 2002 that by 2030 or even earlier, Britain would have had a non-ethnically British prime minister. And it did in the form of Rishi Sunak, Asian. And at the time of making this 2026, it has a black leader of the opposition who wasn't even really brought up in the UK, and a black deputy prime minister. And I think that in 2002, that was just unthinkable. And by putting Kathmandu, whatever they put on the UK map, well, that's just true. I mean, we now see there are parts of this country, parts of Britain, that are completely foreign, like Whitechapel or whatever, not necessarily completely Nepalese, but completely Bangladeshi or completely Pakistani or whatever. And that wasn't as extreme then. So the prescience of this, is, now you watch it, almost a quarter of a century later, is extraordinary.
Good! Good!
No, not good.
Of course it's good.
Why isn't it good?
Because this is a multicultural society. It should be represented. It'd be good to have a black prime minister. Well, you know, they don't even sort of, what difference would it make? As long as he's not an idiot or a Nazi or something, cool.
The thing, the only black prime minister the only person on the cast to be prime minister who is black has shown himself to be not particularly intelligent. So Russell makes the very important point there.
Well, let's have a black prime minister.
Well, I doubt it'll be a Nazi if he's black.
Well, I don't suppose you'd have him, would you?
All right, mate, how's it going?
How are you doing?
Good.
All right.
Hail. I'm Russell.
How was your fight?
Yeah, I liked it.
Really.
B&B have got a few count seats, haven't they?
Yes, three.
But they've got no seats in Parliament.
No, not yet.
Do you think that they will then?
Well, I think within if immigrate, basically, there's a lot of British people who don't like immigration. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going to grow the more immigration happens, mm. And the more immigrants come to the country, the more British people say, right, I've had enough. And basically, with 400,000 immigrants coming to the country every year, you're going to get a situation where more and more people are.
This is 02, 400,000 immigrants a year. And this was setting people off. This was provoking people. And now look how many are coming a year and have been since then. 400,000 is nothing. Amazing.
Into voters. And there is an inevitability of
that's
us achieving.
Fear.
Of us. Well, you can say what you want. Fear. Love, fear, hate. People put it in different ways. I say it's love for their people. They don't want to see their culture eroded. They love their culture, love their people. You say it's fear because they're scared of having their culture eroded. Some people say it's hate. They hate other people. I say it's love. You can interpret it in whatever you want. So that's a subject.
I think it's a
object.
Fundamental thing, isn't it? The fear and love. That's well fundamental, matey. I reckon. Why don't you take a little bit like? Why don't you when you come to London sort of think?
Yeah.
I just missed the call for you, you Nazi.
I'm trying to call Chris to say, basically, in a different country.
I think he's a very good actor. There's a level on which he almost respects Mark and is fascinated by him.
What we said we were going to do.
Right. Cool. See, I just missed a call from someone that probably was quite fit.
No, I got a feeling from it.
Just it made me a little winkle tingle.
Look at that, the freedom to smoke in a pub.
Your winkle, oh, it's length.
No interest, did you?
No. Not really my scene, mate.
Never mind.
That's good, because you know what I mean? I really wouldn't be sitting this close to you if you were.
Really? Then, like,
if you're an AIDS monkey, I wouldn't really want to sit next to you.
AIDS monkey?
Yeah.
What's AIDS monkey?
A bum man, a faggot.
Homosexual?
Yeah.
I'm not gay myself. But
well, that's
another
good.
Thing, like, you know, that don't really matter if people are gay.
Well, it's a pretty sickening thought, having another bloke's dick shoved up your arse.
He's just like 16-year-old girls when he's more than 20 years older than them.
Yeah. Right. Come on, Mark, it's so infuriating. This trying to sort of think, oh, you're a nice lad, you know. You're a good kid. I stick up for you with the other teachers in the staff room. I say he's a bright boy. But then you crucifying kids and drawing swastikas everywhere. You're making it hard, Mark, for me to love you. I want to love you.
That's quite amusing. Should I actually put that in?
Yeah, exactly. Should I put that in? I'm so sorry, racist. So it's extra worthwhile. What's Black fellas? Oh, Bob Marley. He was rubbish.
He was my favourite musician, you know what I mean?
Who was he? Yes. You have to put musician in quote marks, but it's Bob Marley. He clearly was a musician. Your belief system permeates every aspect of your life, innit? You wouldn't sleep with black women, you don't like listening to black
women. No, I didn't say, I wouldn't sleep with black women because I don't find them physically attractive. I've never really seen like, an actual Afro-Caribbean woman. I've never seen a physically attractive Afro-Caribbean woman.
Okay. Millions of Halle Berry!
They've got bubble lips, big noses.
Halle Berry, is she half black or even only a quarter black?
Lips, beautiful noses. Halle Berry, she's gorgeous, man.
I don't think Halle Berry is beautiful, you know what I mean? I just don't find blacks attractive. I don't think a lot of lads do. I mean, you know, you might be able to point out, like, the odd Latino chick that people find attractive, like Jennifer Lopez or whatever. And, you know, yeah, they are.
I like black women in general. Nice.
That's in line with the statistics, actually, that the most common interracial marriage in America is with Latinos, and Latinos are, on average, half white. Whereas blacks are only much more different genetically from whites than Native Americans are from whites, but they are on average about 20% white.
Offices.
I disagree.
Good energy.
You know, I have seen Ricky Lake and I know what it's all about.
Yeah. Ricky Lake.
Grossly obese black women in bikinis thinking they look good.
The interesting thing here is if you see a later Fly on the Wall documentary about Mark Collett, which I think might have happened either later that year or the following year, I'm not sure exactly, maybe it happened in 03 or 04, called Young, Nazi and Proud. And what they portray him as is this friendless weirdo who is obsessive and odd. And you don't see this side to him at all. Whereas when I've interviewed him and so forth, he is friendly, outgoing, fun kind of chap. And they're being honest here. They're being honest about his character, because the agenda is not quite the same, which is quite interesting.
It's not.
If you were a weird oddball with very few social skills, you wouldn't end up becoming the leader of the Youth League of a political party, I would have thought.
It's like what I said. It's like what I said in The Guardian. You know, he said, "What about Lenny Henry? He's got a white wife." And I said, "Look, it's not ideal, but I wouldn't have sex with Dawn French, would you?"
Yeah, she's got huge tits.
Yeah,
and she's funny.
She also have to fart regularly for you to find her funny.
Proud that like immigrants want to come and live in this country.
I'm proud of my country, but I'm not proud that it's becoming a cesspit. I mean, a lot of people.
You're comparing. That means you're comparing other like ethnic minorities to excrement, mate. Saying it's a cesspit. You're saying they're fecal matter.
Is this Carling?
No, mate. It's like we didn't have Carling here.
So we've got you. So we've got your pint of black person jury.
Excellent.
Tasty.
You think it doesn't matter? Think it doesn't affect you? Think it's too late to think again?
Why is that a farmer accent? It's just not necessary.
The truth at last.
Yeah, the truth. The truth at last. That shows you Hong Kong, Kathmandu, Kingston, Calcutta.
That's true. There's a large percentage of Northeast Asians now in Northern Ireland.
Delhi, we commit.
This is so funny. It's so prescient. It's so accurate. And the way that they put them in random places as well, which is increasingly happening. You've got like parts of the Northeast that were formerly 100% white. Now 20% of the kids in the school are from Nigeria.
If you want. It doesn't strike me as particularly truthful.
Women, the original oak.
I think you'll find that's London. That there's orange.
Here we have Cornwall.
What do you thought Camp Excalibur then? What's all that about?
Excalibur. Well, basically, Camp Excalibur is basically a weekend where young people get together, shoot each other with paintball guns, go canoeing, get a little bit beard up, and have a good laugh. It's affordable for any kids. It's only £10. So where else can like working class kids come and do paintball and canoeing? Abseiling, climbing, all that stuff. Have a good laugh for £10 for a weekend.
Oh, that's
nowhere.
The thing. Why do,
but, yeah, we're helping
black,
people.
Black kids want to go.
Well, you know what I mean? They can't.
There is something comic, so comic about it, because Mark is quite witty and yeah, he's quite quick and quite like a dry sense of humour, and Russell is a slightly different kind of sense of humour, but they're both very funny, and it really does work. Rolling black and green, a sudden rash remembers what's buried in this scene. Enemy soldiers around us, so deep under brush. I want it all.
Hey, alright.
You stirring up trouble, or are you on Zoom?
No, I'm not stirring up trouble. I'm doing what I believe in. What are you doing?
We're just chatting to our friends.
Can I be on this one?
Yeah, of course, I'm Russell.
Martin,
all right, good game today, eh? Fucking hell.
Yeah,
we're doing a programme about sort of like, what was it about? Racism.
Racism? Well, we're not racist.
Are you sure?
Of course I
do. No, I'm all right.
No, I'm on.
Mark?
Are you okay?
I'm the leader of the young game.
Are you?
Do you know what that is?
National Front.
Yeah, no, it's pretty front. Much. The
same well, thing, basically. Well, serious.
Yeah, basically, BNP, all we want is like not for our culture and heritage to be eroded by like mass immigration or whatever. Some people want to integrate and be part of British culture, you know what I mean? They're here today. Others don't. Others go and riot in places like Oldham and Burnley, destroy the town.
Yeah, they've been
no, because what, yeah. I live in Harold's, mate, so it works both ways. And a lot of the English cause trouble for us who live in them countries.
Really?
Yeah, of course they do. They come over. Is it National Front.
Do they? National Front come over, stirring up trouble in your community.
Stirring trouble in my community. And then, obviously, they make like a front between...
I do stir, they come over. I don't think that's true. That's used to be something that the left would say. They used to say that the BNP exploit the working class, as though the working class is just stupid people that can't think for themselves. Very, very snobbish attitude. And they exploit them. In reality, the BNP was a working... and the National Front were working class parties composed of working class people. Okay, it's true that some of the leaders, the high-level leaders, like the national leaders, were often from a more middle-class background, like Mark Collett or Nick Griffin, but private school, whatever. But no, there's no. You can't say that they're coming up, stirring trouble. That they're from that community. Hence, they got councillors elected in these communities.
That causes tension,
of course it does. They come in, they shout about it, and they fuck off, and then leave it to the other white people. Just like,
it's just quite convenient. What one wonders, has the production company set this up? The idea that the guy comes over and says, "Oh, can I be in this?" But then on the other hand, when I've done filming out and about, that's exactly what people might do. If they, some people see a camera, and it's a magnet, and they want to come over and they want to be on film because they like attention.
Normal people can leave us. And I've never had a wrong word with an Asian person in my life because I respect them and they respect me.
Just respect each other.
Yeah.
Respect each other.
And then when we have white people or vice versa coming in and causing trouble, then also...
Actually, if he was a plant, if he was basically an actor, would they have someone that was stupid enough to say vice versa rather than the correct vice versa? Because if you say vice versa, you're not a reasonably educated kind of person would never say vice versa, would they? So that makes it more consistent with this not being a plant. Unless it's a double bluff, of course.
It's left in it, end it there. The people of Aerials, not you. You're not from Aerials, I know that for a fact. It's looking at you. You're not from Aerials. I'm from Aerials.
The people of Aerials are all together.
So we've got. Then you leave us to sort it out afterwards.
Yeah.
In that day, in those days, and considering the age of those people, let's say about 30, they would have been inculcated with the far left, you know, kind of anti-racism is the new religion kind of idea. And then because they're not very educated, not very intelligent, then they deal with that by adopting what they see as a high status belief, i.e. anti-racism. And then, yes. I think this could be non-set up. I really do think. And also from Russell's reaction, I wonder if this is just a random thing that's happened.
So what, you brought these people over, basically?
That's what I'm saying. They make it worse.
Mate. We didn't bring them over, Mark. Don't walk away. Stand up for what you believe in.
Come on, don't let us
believe it. Stand up for what you believe in. They're living with it. Walk away because you're wrong. We're right. We don't need to argue. We came up here to demonstrate that. We came up to demonstrate
that. Chris, do not sign that release form.
Bring over whoever you want. Bring over Hitler himself. It don't matter. You ain't got nobody that can beat the truth. Come on, what's that? What's that?
Wait, I'm not doing anything more with you. Go away.
What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the problem, Mark?
I didn't even understand what was going on.
What happened? You just, the two blokes walked over, and what do you know? They think it's wrong to be racist. I'm sorry about that, Mark. That's the world you're living in. What you believe is fundamentally wrong. You're going to come up against opposition. That's going to happen. If you want to believe in that stuff, mate, be prepared for the people around you to reject you. You may have got a little bit of local celebrity out of it, and congratulations, but let me tell you, this is the end of the road, because what you believe is wrong. Huh? What's up? Was it that embarrassing?
It's not very professional. I think this isn't set up because he's so emotional and overwrought, is the presenter, his brand, something. But then it's weird, though, that Mark's reaction is so strong, like he feels betrayed. And this, of course, implies that over the period of however long this documentary has been being made, I think it's only a couple of days, the charisma of Brand is such that he's kind of bonded with him and whatever, and now he feels betrayed. He's almost seen him as almost a weird hero, I think, and then he's been betrayed and he's realised that he's been had. And the same thing happened with Young Nazi and Proud. I'm sure he learned his lesson after that, though. That he was being filmed covertly as well as overtly. And then the guy presented him with the covert stuff, and he said, well, as far as he was concerned, they'd become friends. He couldn't believe the betrayal.
Are you embarrassed?
I'm just, you just set us up with a couple of muppets.
They just walked over. They're nice fucking guys. I've never spoken to them before in my life. They walked over here. They live in Asian communities. They think that what you believe is wrong. That's going to happen, mate, because you are wrong.
Go home. Go back to London. Go home, Russell.
Oh, yeah, this is coming out. It's just a neutral buzzer. You wanted to come up here to make a politically neutral documentary.
Nah, I can't be neutral, mate. It's too important. I'm not going to let you destroy my fucking planet. I love people. I'm not letting
you fucking planet.
Yeah.
You love underage girls, well, not underage girls. You love barely legal girls.
Oh, what?
Well, you seem to me. You start so neutral, so sympathetic. You stand there and start using abusive language, effing and blinding.
Yeah, it's my language.
What sort of professional debate is that? Start effing and blinding.
I'll say
like a common peasant. What's wrong with you?
I'm a working class.
I believe working class. There's nothing working class about Russell Brown. I believe this guy's called Tony Wentworth, and he was leader of the Young BNP after Mark Collett resigned in the wake of the Young Nazi and Proud documentary.
That's the language I speak. I'm sorry if it offends
you. Oh, you're really working class. You are.
But, mate, honestly, all we want to do is save our way of life, yeah?
What is your way of life?
We just want to save our people. Like, we're going to be... The white race in this country is going to be extinct, you know what I mean? Somebody's got to do something. It's like saving the whale, yeah? All right, there's thousands left, but unless someone starts now, yeah, then that whale's going
to... I think there'll always be white people, mate.
Yeah, but...
We'll always have Shakespeare, we'll always have everything.
Well, I don't know, will we? It's touch and go, isn't it? Maybe, but maybe not. I just have a fear of... Everything about Britain, I like it, and I just see it falling apart, you know?
But it ain't about race, mate. It's about race.
Love.
I don't think it matters whether you're white or black, mate.
It's not important.
I am proud to be white and I am proud to be British.
You should find other things to be proud of, mate.
But can you
be proud of what you are, what you're capable of?
I am white. I am British.
What's your name?
I am proud of that. And by the way, there's been more white slaves throughout history than there have been.
Oh, I don't care what you say anymore.
So the long, the tall, and the short of the situation is this. Because I have...
How vain to sit there in your light shirt on.
...setting yesterday, Market says, well, I won't talk to Russell anymore, I can't talk to him. I'm included. I may as well be Asian now. I'm included in his little segment of people that he doesn't want to talk to, doesn't want near him, and, you know, won't deal with. So Matt and Will are going to go together to talk to him now. And I've got, like, just sort of for some questions. I'd like sort of, you know, to have Mark answer. So one thing that was really interesting, I was talking to Mark's girlfriend, who seemed like a very sweet and normal girl who didn't know that Mark was leader of the Young BNP when she met him and was like really upset when she found out from her friends. She told me, apparently Mark, he had a lot of trouble making friends, didn't really, you know, doesn't mix very easily with people. And when he met Chris, Aryan Chris, like, you know, that for Mark, that was a significant thing, that friendship. The word she uses, Mark Hero worships Chris.
I've got 110% respect for Chris Beverley. He's a top guy. He got me involved in the party. He is my best friend.
Also, we met his sister. I'd like to know, like, she's kind of cute. And this is hypothetical because I am, of course, an adult man. And, you know, I've got...
Hang on, that doesn't bother you, does it? I'm thinking the Mark sisters, if Mark's 21 there, then Mark's sister's 19 or 18, maybe even younger. That doesn't bother you.
Some sort of moral code. Would you prefer, Mark, I wonder, if you're for your sister to go out with me, lovely Russell, or with, you know, an Asian or a black person or, you know, someone else outside of your limited brief of what is decent and correct?
I think I'd rather she stays celibate for life.
What would you do, I'd like to know, if the BNP disbanded or change this immigration and race policy to be more inclusive?
I'm loyal to the BNP because the BNP is the best option for Britain. But ultimately, more than anything, I'm loyal to my race and my nation. And if the BNP stops being the best party to represent that, of course, I would stand for the people. I said, I'm for the people.
So what have I learned from this? I've learned that, you know, I don't really like Nazis very much. I can't get along with them. I've got no common ground. But, like, to learn about things, I suppose I should hold back. It was such a lovely day. We won the football. Everyone was all together. Most of the people we met were all sort of jolly and communal. And it just angered me. It angered me that he thought we were trying to stitch him up unfairly. And it angered me that his views are so harsh and so cruel and intolerant. And I reacted angrily and to a degree unprofessionally. So, I don't know. What would you have done?
Having seen the film, do you think that we behaved...
Let the guys talk to him. and just keep quiet and stand there and watch.
In a responsible manner, and what's your what are your first impressions of the film?
I think your arguments demolished those that came from the BNP. I think what was quite clear is that the slightest bit of argument about their issues, they couldn't defend their position. There is no substance to their argument, and that's how they got to be treated. And I think you did it remarkably well.
Thank you very much.
Incredible prescience. Incredible prescience, I think. Well, that was fascinating stuff, and very, very prescient. See you all soon, chaps, and goodbye.